And back to James E. McDonald.
Yes.
Did he generate support from people in his field, or was he out there all by himself?
Well, at first he was all there by himself, but gradually, because of his extreme prestige in which he was held, you know, in the scientific field of climatology and meteorology, he got the opportunity to speak to hundreds of scientific groups in conferences, symposia, and other meetings. And gradually, over this 5 or 6 year period in which he was doing this publicly, he was being listened to by lots of people and scientists. And in fact, some scientists were already active in the field, and a few of them got the courage to come out publicly as he did, but not many. But the scientists in the field who were interested in the phenomenon anyway worked closely with him.
In 1971, his wife Betsy said, "I want a divorce." He seems then to have planned his suicide. They say in April of 71, attempted suicide. He shot himself in the head. He survived, was blinded, recovered some kind of vision, not a lot. And then later on, a few months later, he's found somewhere near a creek with a .38 caliber revolver next to him. Is that all true?
Yes. I've had access to a police report, but the complete police report of the finding of the body and the autopsy and everything like that is not available, or at least was not available to me, although I tried very hard. But as far as I could see from the summary of the police report and the autopsy report, there was no attempt to find out what fingerprints were on the gun. You know, simple things like this. If only his fingerprints were found on the gun, they should put that in the autopsy report. But the autopsy report was extremely non-enlightening, shall we say.
What does your gut tell you, Ann, about this case?
Pardon?
What does your gut tell you about this case?
My gut feeling, I don't usually express my gut feeling.
I know that.
Gut feeling is that he was helped along in his suicide.
Because of what he knew, you think?
He was getting very, very close to finding out classified material that the government had and had never released, and probably have not released to this day. When he would give talks to the military bases, scientific groups at military bases, the military people would come up to him and say, "I don't want you ever to use my name, but," and then they would describe these remarkable sightings that they had. He described some of these in his 4 handwritten journals, which I transcribed with difficulty because his handwriting was very hard to read. But in the handwritten journals, especially the 3 he wrote between 1966 and 71, he would often describe what seemed to be classified information that he had come across, from military and other sources, tower control operators, you know, people that would really know what they were talking about. And then he would say, I went to, say, a China Lake and a C small notebook or C pocket notebook.
Right.
So according to people that saw him use these pocket notebooks, so to speak, there are a pile of extremely interesting material that he gathered over the years, but we have never been able to find the pocket notebooks.
Gosh, what a pioneer he was. And the notebook is, of course, gone, just like a raid on Tesla's home and everything else. It seems like when they get information, technology, somebody steals it, Ann.
Well, you see, I have used remote viewing techniques with very talented remote viewers and clairvoyants, and I'm still following that out, trying to find the pocket notebooks. I have a few little clues which don't mean anything right now, but I'm not giving up.
And what do you think, and we'll move on to your alien abduction hypothesis, what do you think McDonald's greatest contribution was to the field of ufology?
Well, I think the greatest contribution that he made was the fact that he was a most prestigious atmospheric scientist. He was an atmospheric physicist. And to have a man of this caliber come out publicly and express an intense interest in the UFO phenomenon as the most serious scientific question of our time, this is, to me, is the greatest contribution. But it was his 5 years of work with the UFO field, with scientifically oriented people like myself and with other scientists on various cases like the Heflin photos and other very prominent cases that added to the importance of these UFO reports. So it's hard to say what besides his his own prestige was his greatest contribution. The book is 509 pages long, Firestorm, Dr. James E. McDonald's Fight for UFO Science, and it has many cases that he worked on. And I think people who are interested in his work could maybe decide for themselves what was his most important contribution.
There is no question, I think, that had he survived, had he not died, and carried himself through where we are today with disclosure appearing to come out in different facets,
yes,
I think he would have helped considerably.
He would have helped considerably, and perhaps even now we would know what the government knows.
I think so, too.
We don't know what our U.S. government knows, but Brazil and Chile and other countries, France, are coming out openly. And that might have happened earlier if McDonald had not been taken from us.